Welcome into our Better Farming podcast in association with WorkSafe New Zealand. Now, farming's an industry that's undergone extensive transformation right throughout the years. And in this episode, we're going to look at improving outcomes for the next generation of farmers and also what role younger farmers play in shifting perspectives. My name is Rowena Duncan, and joining me are Jesse Waite from Young Farmers, Eve Williams from Primary ITO, and WorkSafe's Alma Cohn. And Eve, let's start with you, because training our young farmers and those getting into the industry is just so crucial. And all of the industries are actually extremely well serviced with opportunities for training as well now.
Yeah, and what we find is that obviously people that are training are younger, and so it's way more ingrained in part of how they're doing it every day, because from a very, you know, dry ITO perspective, it's a compulsory unit. So you have to do it just like you do seed identifying, how to graft an apple onto a new tree, that sort of thing, that it's really just, it's absolutely normalised as part of every day rather than being an extra.
Jesse, what are you seeing with the likes of young farmers? I know the competition is just so important and seeing the best, but also it's important in getting people along to meetings, getting them involved in clubs, and actually setting the scene for what is acceptable and good farming practice.
And that's just like what Eve's mentioned, you know, it has for young farmers just become BAU to include health and safety and hazard registers and attendance lists and people understanding what those potential harms are. So it's been a really good to see that shift, that mental thinking shift within young farmers. You know, it wasn't, when there's a new thing, it's not always the easiest thing to implement when you're trying to, you know, encourage people to take on a new way of doing things or thinking. But it's been really encouraging to see how well young farmers have been implementing it. And I mean, we've even got an award for it now, you know. So, and people strive for that, which is really cool to see.
Al, I'm not going to be ageist here, but, you know, you are a slightly generation
I'm still
above.
17 on the inside, honest.
Is it possible to teach old dogs new tricks?
Of course. And we see it all the time. And if you couldn't, then agriculture in New Zealand would still be back in the 50s. But it's not. It's moved on considerably from when I worked on farms. It's whole different regimes and production cycles and all sorts of things. So what we see is we see good farmers seeing health and safety as part of good business, and they're picking it up. And the really good thing is with the people that are coming through, it's just a normalised part of good business.
I think that's so important, just normalising it so it becomes second nature. Our Kiwis have always been renowned for their innovation, that Kiwi number 8 wire mentality. And that was about how we do things on farm, but also it can be applied to health and safety. We're coming up with new ways of keeping ourselves safe, like we see with the crash protection devices on quad bikes. They didn't have them for three-wheelers.
No, but of course, you know, a three-wheeler was quite a light machine, and you know, I rode one when I worked on farms. That's how old I am, and yeah, if you fell off it, it was just a light thing. You pushed it off and you had a laugh. And a quad, for instance, is a much, much heavier machine. If it falls on top of you, you cannot get it off by yourself.
You know about it.
Yeah. And so the innovation that AgTech did up in Northland and the flexible crush protection, brilliant.
Eve, with our training, it's not just about how to fix a bull cock if one falls off in a trough. We are seeing organisations prioritising health and safety and making sure that actually is a module on its own. It's benefit. It's deserving of that.
That's exactly right. And I think by having it as the foundation, you do it when you're doing a level 2, you do it when you're doing a level 3, it's everywhere, but it's, you know, it's a module that's part of a wider qualification in the way that it's part of your wider job. And I think, you know, when we were talking about young farmer and I was thinking about junior young farmer, yeah, you know, you've got these, how old are they? 8, 9, 10-year-olds doing activities about identifying on-farm hazards. That's a lifelong, like, thinking yeah process. And that's just brilliant, because then it's not something extra. It is part of your normal, you know, you get up, you have your cup of tea, you know, absolute routine. I think that's the key to it, is that it's, you don't have to think about it as an extra, do you know?
Mm. It's not compliance, it's part of good business.
Exactly right, yeah. It's about productivity.
Mm. And I guess the people doing the level two, the level three with primary ITO, Jesse, the people coming through the Teen Ag competition, these are going to be the farm owners and the employers of the future.
That's it. And we need, like, they're so influential. And, you know, we're seeing the trends come through from these young people, and they're going to be the ones that pick things up and innovative and bring it through on farm, different practices and way of doing things. But it also kind of blows me away, you know, health and safety, that is us day to day. You know, that is our health and it's our safety. And I think the young people, I don't think we give them enough credit. And they love learning new things. And I think if we can give them the tools to be able to go out and, you know, not just all the theory stuff, but practically be able to go out and learn things on farm. And the Teen Ag students that we see come through, like with FMG Young Farm of the Year, they are amazing. Like, they could outdo me with their skills, which, you know, obviously great parenting. But they're amazing, and they do know what they're doing. But there's also, you know, obviously a whole lot of stuff that we can teach them. And, you know, it's awesome having WorkSafe alongside us at these regional finals with the Teen Ag kids and at Grand Final. So being able to educate them, it's been fantastic.
And Eve, one of the values that we really see coming through with the training organisations now is that manaakitanga as well.
Yeah, and manaakitanga is one of the three pillars that we have that that underpins all the work that the primary ITO does. So manaakitanga, manamotuhaki and whanaunatanga, which is manaakitanga is about looking after each other and having a service mindset. And so it's like what Al was saying about it's looking after each other on your farm and in your business. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when that underpins everything that you do, it's so much easier to integrate it. And that's why you do formal qualifications, because you're looking after other people by making sure that your on-farm or on-orchard business is absolutely looking after the people on your business. Because when you invest in your people, you're investing in your business. And that's why you do training.
And are you seeing a different mindset with the people coming in for the training now? They're not just there to advance in the industry, they're actually looking further ahead and saying, look, I actually want to make this a lifestyle choice for me. I want to succeed and I want to see others around me succeed as well.
We see this really beautiful thing, especially in horticulture, where grandparents are passing their orchards or their farms onto their grandchildren. So the grandchildren have such a sense of responsibility because they've seen this land cultivated for, you know, 6-7 generations, and now it's on their shoulders, and they're not thinking about their business, they're thinking about the land, you know, the whenua on which they are operating, and they're getting that ready for their children and their grandchildren. It's just such a sustainability thing about making sure that your business model is, you know, your business will end at some point, but that land will always be there, and it's your duty to that land and caring for and servicing that land.
Al, it wasn't so long ago that succession planning was a bit of a buzzword. We actually hadn't always thought about what was going to happen when we ended our farming career and it was time to look to the next generation. It just kind of wasn't talked about.
No, and it's really interesting because lately I've heard farmers saying, the way I'm farming now makes me more confident that my kids would be able to farm too. So for a while there were farmers going, I'm not sure I want my kids in this lifestyle or in this way of life. Now people are starting to see it a bit differently.
Also, who leads the shift in perspective? Is it the young ones coming through, or is it the ones who have been on the farm or the land for the longer time who are looking to maybe finish, come towards the end of their career? Who changes that?
Well, the culture on the farm is mainly set by the dominant personality on the farm, which is usually the farm owner or the family that owns a farm or runs a farm. But what we're seeing is both Eve and Jesse were saying, is the new generation or the younger generation are coming through, and they have a different life experience about the way you treat the land, about how you treat each other, about how you look at what you're doing in terms of risk. And they're bringing that, and they're not prepared to accept that it can't be like that. And that's having an ongoing impact on, especially on family farms. Although we still do see things where, you know, dad still owns the farm and he still wants to go and do this way, and I'm going to do it that way and I don't care what your rules say. But that's becoming less and less common. And it's more like, well, actually, the kids have got a point here. Perhaps I'll start doing that as well. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing a slow shift in culture from how farming used to be, the staunch sort of stoic sort of farm, through to a modern generational farm.
Do you see, we're especially seeing this in Taranaki, where the dairy farmers in particular there were some of the early adopters of fencing off waterways, of riparian planting, and we're seeing really high statistics coming out of the region.
Yeah, I think, well, a little plug for Taranaki, we do lead the way in quite a few different areas. But I think what that showed is that the farmers, like Eve has said, they are so strong on that sustainability, you know, that succession's coming through. We had a Shimoka farm owner AGM recently, and it was really neat to hear those retired farmers say, look, if our Shimokas were farming the way we did, we'd be out of business. And it was really neat to see that mind shift, that actually what these young people are bringing on farm that perhaps is quite different to their way of thinking is actually, you know, whether it's the health and safety or different ways, you know, growing production. It's been really cool to see that they're acknowledging that these young people, you know, they do know their stuff and they can bring things on farm and change ideas and bring a different way of looking at things that can actually, you know, make sure that the farm is sustainable for the next generation.
Are you seeing a similar thing in horticulture at all, Eve?
Yeah, and what's really interesting, and I was thinking while Jessie was talking, is that in horticulture, you know, people don't retire, right? That people have got, the younger people are going away, having a different career path altogether, and then bringing that mindset into taking over the family orchard or farm. And so, you know, the skill set isn't the they do have the practical skills, school holidays, but they've got, you know, they might have had a business career, they might have been internationally focused, they may have worked in marketing or in other, you know, sort of export focused industries. And so they're bringing that business acumen into the, you know, the orchard or the farm that they grew up on, you know. So it's sort of marrying those two parts of their lives really beautifully. And so, of course, that's going to influence the way they operate their business, but also how they teach their children or their successor to operate the business too. So it's this really confluence of ideas and generational ideas that'll be constantly changing the way that we farm and grow in New Zealand.
Has there been a shift, do you think, away from just learning on the job?
I think learning on the job is always going to have its place, but I think what there is now is a bigger emphasis on having the formal qualification to back up what you're learning on the job. So, you know, it's all good that you can say, I can put up a fence or I can graft this plant, but, you know, can you measure that against a national standard? And that's what an on-job training gives you, is the ability to say, I can graft it, it is NZQA certified that I can do it, it's been assessed by my employer, who is also my boss, you know, and I have this third party that comes in to check on me, so that you know that the skills that you've got, you know, yes, you learn them on the job, but you've got this formal thing to back it up and the theory side that complements it that you do in your spare time as well.
Do you see, this is what we see in the FMG Young Farmer of the Year in the quiz. They have to be so aware of what's happening around them, what's happening in politics, what's happening in policy, what's happening in the environmental space as well, because it's not just putting up a fence and putting some stock and giving them some grass.
You have just hit the nail on the head, and I've been talking about this for so long, that the thing that really grinds my gears is that in terms of the education and our young people, we need the top students for our industry, because you need the science, the English, the maths, people skills, all of it. And I think we have such like incredible people within our industry. And it's not just about putting up fences and milking the cows and, you know, shifting a mob. Like, there's so much to farming and operating a business and knowing when invoices go out and come in. Like, there's just so much to it that it's one of the vocal points that I push a lot, is that I wish our schools understood just how important the primary sector is to the country and how many opportunities there are for our young people.
Al, with WorkSafe, are you in contact with similar organisations around the world? Do you leverage off each other and also work out what's working well in one country that might be able to be adapted here in New Zealand?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, our approach with, say, crush protection on quads has been done in association with the Australians. So we look at how farming is done in other countries and then try and equate what has worked with those countries to ours. I think what most New Zealand farmers will tell you, when they go overseas and work, there is a real difference in how we farm and how overseas farmers work. And some of how we work and the attitude we've got to just getting on and doing stuff just wouldn't cut it overseas.
Yeah.
And so that leads us to say that we have to have sometimes very different solutions to the problems that we're seeing. Things that would work overseas just won't work for our people and vice versa.
And it wasn't so long ago that health and safety was seen as box ticking, just filling in forms and she'll be right.
Yep.
It's not like that anymore. It's gone well beyond that.
There will always be a group of people who see health and safety as a compliance activity, and they will try and get away with as least amount of that as they can. What we are seeing right across the country, right across all the industries, is more acceptance that actually this is good for my business. This is a way of protecting the people who work for me and myself so that my business can carry on. And when you start thinking about it like that, which is how the younger generation thinking about it all the time, it's just normal part and parcel of good business practice, then it doesn't come from compliance activity, it comes from activity. How well can I do this to milk the most benefit out of it?
Final question for all of you. Is the future bright in terms of generational change around health and safety? Are we going to get better and better and move from strength to strength, Jessie?
Most definitely. And I think it's like I said before, you know, I think with each generation comes a different way of doing things and different ideas. And also, hopefully, you know, the fact that health and safety is becoming such a BAU for us, they'll just pick it up and run with it and it won't even be questioned. And I think that's probably the one thing about our young people is they do have a lot of questions and they want to know why they're doing things and what the outcome's going to be. And so I think we're in a really good space in terms of being able to allow the young people to move forward with their own ideas in terms of health and safety. But I think it's a really bright space.
Eve?
Yeah, I agree. And I think the other thing, though, is it's, yes, the young farmers in the future is really bright, but that's not to say that the old farmers, no offence, Al, are not bright. You know, it's that number 8 why mentality.
Yeah.
You know, things we do things differently. We might do some things better, not everything we better, but it's always adapting and changing. I think that's such a Kiwi thing, you know, that it is better, it's brighter, but it's just different, you know?
My point would be that a lot of what we're expecting farmers to do is what good farmers do anyway.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, people put a lot of stock in sort of paperwork and all those sort of things. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about risk, and good farmers manage risk well.
Mm.
And that's what we need to be seeing.
And at the end of the day, if you've got good practices on farm, you're going to sleep better knowing that your loved ones, your family, your staff are all going to make it home into their beds at night as well. And as we've said so often, New Zealand farmers are the best in the world, but we can be better. And I think we are on the right track with health and safety. Al McCone from WorkSafe, Eve Williams from Primary ITO, Jessie Waite from New Zealand Young Farmers, thank you so much for your time in this podcast.
Thanks for listening. Check out our other conversations or visit worksafe.govt.nz for more information about health and safety on farm. This podcast was made in conjunction with WorkSafe and NZME. Thanks to executive producers Rowena Duncombe and Nikki Verbeet. Audio editing and sound design by James Irwin of NZME's Sound and Vision team.